Hey, everybody. Thanks for tuning in to our weekly podcast here at First United Methodist Church, Murfreesboro. I'm Cliff Wright, the senior pastor. I hope this week's message is meaningful and inspiring to you. If you'd like more information about how to get connected at FUMC, you can visit our website, fumcm.org, or you can check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at FUMCBurra. I also hope you'll consider joining us at one of our four weekly worship services at 8:30 and 11 a.m. on Sundays in the Sanctuary and the Family Life Center. First United Methodist Church is a warm and welcoming community of people committed to the mission of growing disciples of Jesus Christ who know Him, love Him, and serve Him. I hope this week's message helps you in your own personal journey towards knowing, loving, and serving Christ in your life.
Our scripture lesson for this morning is from Paul's letter to the people in the church at Rome. I'm reading from the 16th chapter, beginning with the first verse. Hear this, God's word for us today. I commend to you our sister Phoebe, a deaconess of the church at Cenchreae, that you may receive her in the Lord as befits the saints and help her in whatever she may require from you, for she's been a helper of many and of myself as well. Greet Prisca and Aquila, my fellow workers in Christ Jesus, who risked their necks for my life, to whom not only I, but also all the churches of the Gentiles give thanks. Greet also the church in their house. Greet my beloved Epaphroditus, who was the first convert in Asia for Christ. Greet Mary, who has worked hard among you. Greet Andronicus and Junius, my kinsmen and my fellow prisoners. They are men of note among the apostles, and they were in Christ before me. Greet Ampliatus, my beloved in the Lord. Greet Urbanus, our fellow worker in Christ, and my beloved Stachys. Greet Apelles, who is approved in Christ. Greet those who belong to the family of Aristobulus. Greet my kinsman Herodian. Greet those in the Lord who belong to the family of Narcissus. Greet those workers in the Lord, Tryphena and Tryphosa. Greet the beloved Perses, who has worked hard in the Lord. Greet Rufus, eminent in the Lord, and his mother and mine. Greet Asyncritus, Phlegon, Hermes, Petrobus, Hermas, and the brethren who are with them. Greet Philologist, Julia, Nereus, and her sister, and Olympus, and all the saints who are with them. Greet one another with a holy kiss. All the churches of Christ greet you. Word of God for the people of God. Thank you. You may be seated. Would you bow with me as we go to God in prayer? And now, God, either through me or in spite of me, you speak to these your people, for it's in your name we pray. Amen. Well, you might as well go ahead and admit it. Wasn't that about the most boring passage of Scripture you've ever heard in your life? It's just a bunch of names. Looks like just a bunch of names, and hard to pronounce names, I might add. I was watching some of you as I was reading this morning. You couldn't say it with your eyes, with your mouths, but you were saying it with your eyes, and what you were saying with your eyes was, thank God he didn't ask me to read the scripture this morning. I mean, it just looks like a bunch of names, a bunch of names. Well, what's interesting is when you start poking around, you start poking around and you find out that it's not just a bunch of names. Paul is sitting in Corinth as he's writing these words, and he's getting ready to leave. He's getting ready to go to Jerusalem. And here's what's interesting about that. Paul understands that if he goes to Jerusalem, as he's planned to do, he may never walk out of there alive. And the reason that he knows that if he goes to Jerusalem that he may not walk out alive is because Paul has been preaching and teaching. It's an interesting thing about preaching and teaching. when you preach and when you teach, there are different results. There are different possibilities. On the one hand, oftentimes folks can get motivated and excited and inspired. But on the other hand, folks can also get upset sometimes when you preach and when you teach. Paul has caused the latter response. There have been folks who have listened to him preach and teach, and they have gotten upset. You know why they've gotten upset? They've gotten upset with Paul because Paul's preaching and teaching is different. He's doing it in a different way. That's upset some people. And then what he's saying and what he's teaching is different because he's challenging people to live differently. Paul in his preaching and teaching, he's challenging people to do things differently, to live differently. Anyway, it's an interesting thing about that. I think most all of us fit into this category at one time or another in our lives. Those times where what we really want to hear is what we want to hear. What we want to hear is what we already believe. Because it's easier to hear that. And Paul wasn't preaching and teaching what these people already believed. He was challenging them to look at life differently, to look at the life of being a follower of Christ differently. And it had upset some people. And it had upset them so much that Paul realized that if he went to Jerusalem, he may never walk out of there alive. So here's what's going on. He's sitting there in Corinth. His boxes are all packed. And Paul's pondering what it's going to be like, what's going to happen to him. He's staring death squarely in the face. That's an interesting thing about that. Have you ever had to do that, to stare death squarely in the face? Or maybe you've done that with somebody that you love most in life. When it happens, one of the things that's interesting is it can cause you to get focused, and I mean really focused, on what matters. What I've discovered as a pastor and in my own life, perhaps you've discovered this as well, is that we don't like to do that very often. You know, we don't like to talk about death, do we? We don't like to think about death, much less talk about death. And when we do talk about it, when we do think about it, have you noticed that it's usually in relationship to it happening to somebody else? I mean, intellectually, we know it's going to happen to us, but when we think about it, talk about it, it's always in regard to it being somebody else. We think that we're going to be here forever. It's like a couple that was sitting out on the front porch one day. It had come to the close of the end of the day. They were watching the sunset. It had been one of those days that was filled with one blessing after another. They were just kind of basking in the glow. Finally, the wife turned to the husband and she said, "You know, Jed, when one of us dies, I'm going to move to California." Isn't that the way it is? I mean, that's just the way it is, isn't it? And when we think about death and talk about death, it's always somebody else, isn't it? But here's the fact, here's the truth. We're all going to die. Everybody in this sanctuary is going to die someday. Aren't you glad you came to church this morning? But it's the truth. I don't think we ought to think about that all the time. Who wants to think about that all the time? I sure don't. But I think we ought to think about it from time to time, because you know what it does? It gets us focused on how we're living and what we're doing, what it is that we're doing with the time, the gift that God has given us of right now and of today. It's just interesting to me what Paul does. Paul's sitting in Corinth. He's getting ready to go to Jerusalem. He knows if he goes, he may die. So he's staring death squarely in the face. And it's just really interesting to me what Paul does. Because you know what he does? He does something that matters. He does something that's important. He thinks about what it is that really matters and what's really important in life. And you know what that is? It's other people. He thinks about relationships. He starts naming names. That's what he's doing here. Naming names, remembering people, and giving thanks. If you've got your Bibles open, you can go back and look at some of these with me this morning. If not, you can just follow along. In the third verse, Paul says, greet Prisca and Aquila, my fellow workers in Christ Jesus. And then listen to this part, who risked their necks for my life. Did you catch that a moment ago when I read it? Greet Prisca and Aquila, Paul says, my fellow workers in Christ Jesus who risked their necks for my life. Just think about that. There were two people in the church at Rome, this Prisca and Aquila. And they were willing, these two, they were willing to lay down their life for Paul. They were willing to die for Paul. Have you ever had anybody in your life that was willing to do that? Let me ask it this way. Have you ever had anybody in your life that stood up for you? You ever had a time when somebody stood up for you? Everybody else was sitting down. They stood up because they believed in you. You ever had a time in your life where you were struggling, things were tough, you were going through a tough time, and somebody listened to you. Somebody was there for you, and they supported you. You ever had that happen? If it's ever happened to you, you don't ever forget those people. You see what Paul's saying? He said, listen, I want you to say hello to Prisca and Aquila. They work with me on behalf of Jesus, but they were willing to die for me. You see, this is not just a bunch of names, Paul. These are people that if it hadn't been for them, Paul wouldn't have made it. Skip down to verse 6. Paul says, greet Mary, who has worked hard among you. Greet Mary, who has worked hard among you. Mary was a hard worker. You know what it takes for a church to thrive? One of the things it takes for a church to thrive is a whole bunch of folks who are willing to work hard. You see what had happened? Paul had been preaching and teaching, and as preaching and teaching, he'd upset some people. And so these people had started talking about Paul. You read this in his other letters as well. The people got upset with Paul, and so a lot of them started talking, and they started complaining. That's what happens a lot of times. They started talking, and they started complaining about stuff that didn't matter, and they got off focus. And this was happening back in the church at Rome. There were people that had gotten upset. They'd gotten upset with Paul. But Mary listened to him. She understood what it was that he was challenging her to do. And Mary was one of those folks who worked hard. You know what it's going to take for this church to take a step forward and to keep taking a step forward and take a step forward after that and take another step forward after that? It's going to take a whole bunch of people like Mary who were willing to work hard. Easiest thing in the world in life to do is to sit back and talk. Paul said, I want you to say hello to Mary because Mary worked hard for Christ. Right after that, in verse 7, he says, greet Andronicus and Junius, my kinsmen and my fellow prisoners. Did you catch that a moment ago? Get a load of that. Say hello to Andronicus and Junius, my kinsmen. Now get a load of this part. And my fellow prisoners. There were two people in the church at Rome whose faith was so strong that they were willing to go to jail because of what they believed. Is your faith that strong? I was just wondering as I was putting the sermon together this week, is my faith that strong? Would we be willing, you and I, would we be willing to go to jail over what we believed? I mean, think about that. Think about that for a minute. If you went to jail for what you believed, if you were in jail for any length of time, what that could do? You could lose your job. If you lost your job, you could lose your home. You could lose your reputation and your name. You could lose everything. And yet, there were two people in Rome, they were willing to put all that on the line. You know, we've been talking about Pledge Sunday, Commitment Sunday. I've told you, I think it's one of the most important in a long, long time in the life of this church, because we desperately need to take a big step forward. We desperately need that. And in order for us to do that, it's going to take every single one of us, and it's going to take every single one of us doing all that we can do. And we've asked you to pray about doing something sacrificial for the next 3 years so that we can get where it is that we need to go. But you know what? When you stop to think about it, that's small potatoes, isn't it? Compared to going to jail for what you believed. Paul says, I want you to say hello to Andronicus and Junius. I might not get there. See, this is what's going on. Paul's realizing, I might not get there. So would you make sure and say hello to them, because they joined me in going to prison because of what it was that they believed. You see, this is not just a bunch of names for Paul. These are people that if it hadn't been for them, what Paul's saying is, if it hadn't been for these folks, I wouldn't have made it. Do you have anybody in your life like that? Folks that were there for you, they stood by you, they were there to encourage you, they were there to support you, they were there when you needed them, folks who helped to mold you and make you the person that you are today. You got anybody like that? I told you that I carry a lot of things in my Bible. One of the things I carry in my Bible is a little card with some names on it. Now, if anybody else saw this, they would just see a list of names. It's just a list of names to them. But to me, it's not just a list of names. These are people that have been part of my life. And they helped to mold me. They helped to make me. Some of them are folks that were in the very first church that I was appointed to, right out of school. There was a guy on here named C.M. Goff. I'll never forget C.M. C.M.'s a great guy. He was one of those folks, and you know them, some of you are like this. He was a glass half full guy. His glass was always half full. C.M. was always seeing the big picture of things. One of the things that he realized, and he helped to teach me this, one of the things that C.M. helped realize is that nobody, no teacher, no doctor, no preacher is ever going to please everybody all the time. And so what C.M. focused on was the big picture. He had that gift of focusing on the big picture, and he let the little stuff go. He didn't pick at the little stuff. He just let that stuff go, and he focused on the big stuff. He was a preacher's dream because he was always there. Anytime the doors were open, he was like some of you. Anytime the door was open, C.M. was there. And like some of you, C.M. had his particular place that he sat all the time. He had his pew. He had his place. His place, C.M.'s place, was the last pew on this side, right by the aisle, right where you're sitting, right there. Last pew, this side by the aisle, that's where he sat. One Sunday in 1984, I was making the announcements, and I announced that Amy, my wife, was pregnant with our first child. Now, Amy was pregnant with, I said, hey, I got some great news for you. We're expecting our first child. Amy's pregnant with our first child. C.M. was sitting right back there. I can close my eyes and I can see it. He stood up and he started clapping. C.M. stood up and he started clapping. When he stood up and started clapping, the choir stood up and started clapping. And when C.M. stood up and started clapping, the choir stood up and started clapping, the rest of the congregation stood up and started clapping. The first standing ovation I ever got in my life. And the most fun I ever had getting one, too. And you don't forget that. And so somebody else could see this. They just see a bunch of names, but not me. Because you see, C.M. Goff was a guy, when I was right out of school, wet behind the ears, and I didn't know anything, he was there for me. And he helped to mold me, and he helped to shape me. So it's not just a bunch of names for me. These are special people. You see, these are God's saints for me. It was Cora May, Miss Cora May. God love her, Miss Cora May. Cora May used to make Amy and me cheesecakes. And Amy and I used to pretend that they were good. She came up to me one day, Miss Cormay. She came up to me and she said, "Brother Cliff, I want to do something for you." I said, "Miss Cormay, you don't have to do anything for me." She said, "But I want to do something for you." She said, "You've been there for me." And I said, "But what that's what I do. That's my job." And she said, "I don't care. You were there, and I want to do something for you." And she said, "Do you like cheesecakes?" I said, "Yeah, I love cheesecakes." She said, "Here's what I'm going to do." She said, "I'm going to make you and Amy a cheesecake every month for as long as you are here. I'm going to make y'all a cheesecake every month for as long as you're here." We had to move to Louisiana just to get away from her. But I'll never forget her. And I loved her. You know why? Because it wasn't just a cheesecake. Do you hear what I'm saying? There's Miss Evelyn Love. She's the first person who babysat our son, Adam, our firstborn. She was the first person outside of our family that took care of one of our children. And she loved him. She loved Adam. I remember one day we went by, Amy and I, to pick Adam up. And she was talking to us, and she said, "Oh, my goodness, gosh. I love that baby of yours." She said, "Oh, I love that baby of yours." And she said, "I was just wondering if y'all might do something for me." And we said, "Sure, what do you want us to do?" She said, "I was just wondering if y'all would call me Granny. Could y'all do that for me? Could you call me Granny Love?" And we said, "Sure, we'll call you Granny Love." And she's been Granny Love to us from that day forward. Because you see, for other people, this is just a bunch of names. That's all. And there's other names on there. It's just a bunch of names. But to me, these are not just names. These are people that, my goodness, they helped to mold me. They helped to shape me. I can say to you honestly this morning that if it weren't for the people that are on this list, I would not be here in front of you this morning. Do you have anybody like that in your life? Have you got folks in your life? They help to mold you, shape you, make you the person that you are. You know what? We all do, don't we? We all have people like that. That's what Paul's doing. This is not just a bunch of names for Paul. These are people, if it hadn't been for these people, Paul wouldn't have made it. That's what he's saying. And he's saying, I may not get to truth. I may not ever live to see another day. And so here's what I want you to do. I want you to say hello to these people. It's important to me that you say hello to these people, because they are important to me as life itself. You see that list that's printed in our bulletin this morning under All Saints Day? You see that list there? If you were leaving this morning and this fell out of your Bible out into the street, and somebody out here in the community picked this up that was not a part of our church and they saw those names, you know what they would see? They would just see a list of names. But to us, this is not just a list of names. These are people here that have walked down the road of faith with each one of us. They've helped us to become who we are. Some of these people on this list impacted you directly. They impacted your life directly. But others impacted your life not directly but indirectly. They touched this person over here who impacted this person over here, who had another impact on this person over here, who touched this person over here, who influenced this person. And at some place, it came back around to you, because you know why? That's what the community of faith is all about. And so today, what we're doing is taking a few moments to remember and give thanks for God's saints. You know what God's saints are? They're not perfect people. God's saints are the people that God puts in our midst to help us make it through, to help form us, and to help shape us. You see those lines underneath all the names there? You see those lines that are there? Here's what I want you to do. I want you to pick this up, And I want you to reach in the pew in front of you, and I want you to take out a pencil, or if you've got a pen in your pocket, I want you to take that. Just do this. Take a pencil, take a pen. Here's what I want you to do. On one of those lines, I want you to think of somebody that's been there for you. Grandmother, grandfather, mother, father, son, daughter, sister, brother, somebody that's been there. They've helped you in your spiritual formation. It's just somebody they've been a part of your life. None of us shape ourselves by ourselves. None of us are alone. Who's been there for you? Who's been a part of your life that's helped shape you and form you? Can you think of somebody? If you thought of somebody, write that name down. Just write that name down. Maybe there was a time in your life, it was a particularly difficult time, and there was somebody that was there that helped saw you through. It could be your spouse. It could be a special friend. It may be somebody that's not alive today. It may be somebody that's already been transferred to the church eternal, or it may be somebody right in this sanctuary this morning. It could be a music instructor. It could be a coach. It could be a teacher. It could be a doctor. It could be a neighbor. You thought of somebody, write down a name. You thought of somebody else, write down a name. Now here's what I want you to do. Keep that, will you, for a while. Just keep that. Just tear that off. Keep it. Fold it up. Put it in your wallet or your purse. Keep it in your desk drawer. And every now and then, pull it out. And I'll guarantee you what's going to happen. When you start reviewing over those names, you're going to start adding to those names of people that have been a part of your life. That you give thanks for those folks. Here's what we're going to do in just a moment. In just a moment, we're going to stand and we're going to read these names that are on that list. And as we read those names, a bell is going to, after each name is read, a bell is going to sound in honor and memory of that person. And after we have read all the names that are on that list, then one final bell is going to sound. And when that bell sounds, in the silence of the moment under your breath, give thanks for those people that you've written down on your list. Because for you, it's not just a list, you see. Not just a list for you. These are God's saints. One last thing. Let's go back to death. You know what? There's going to be a day. We might not like to think about it. But there's going to be a day when a preacher is going to read our names. Our names are going to be printed on that list. Here's the question. Are we going to live our lives between now and then in such a way that the people who come after us will be glad and thankful that we were here? In the name of God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen. Would you stand for the reading of the roll? Luke Denson. Mac Fowler. Jerry Jackson, Jr. Francis Johns. Lindsay Jones. Martha Lemming. Cecilia Lindsay. Nelda Pope. Runelta Puckett. Virginia Rowlett. Marcia Smith. Margie Stanford. Eleanor Teasley. John Tilford. Dorothy Tucker. William Waite Sr. Catherine Warren. The the roll call of the saints. Would you bow with me as we pray? Oh, good and gracious God, we give you thanks for these who have gone before us and all that they have meant to us. You molded them. You formed them. You created them. You gave them life. You watched them grow. You know them as your very own. And we give thanks, oh God, for what they have meant to us and to so many. Now, help us to live our lives, oh God, in just that way, that we may be a gift to those who come after us. It's in your name that we pray. Amen.